Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 58. I like your beard. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. Up, internet. This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 58. Recorded on August 22nd, 2016, brought to you by RayRay.net and syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. I am your host, Ray Moraldi, also known as RayRay, and I'm going to keep this little, intro short. My guest for this podcast is Russ Bengtson from Complex Triangle Offense, former editor-in-chief of Slam Magazine. We're going to talk about the Olympics, basketball, more basketball, and whatever small talk we can get out of, like traffic and seasons in different states and stuff like that. Yeah, let's get it started. Russ Bengtson, T before S, Sun, Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 58. I'm going solo for now because I don't know where Adam Jacoby is, but he's supposed to be, you know, joining me for this. I know, but here with me. Senior sports editor for Complex, right? Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, technically, you don't need the sports part in there. I mean, that sports is what I end up doing most of the time, but yeah, I'm technically jack of all trades, so.
Yeah, Triangle Offense, former editor-in-chief of Slam, and also DNP old, Russ Bengtson. What's up, man?
How's it going? Pretty good.
Yeah, back here in California, just chilling. Enduring 95 degree days.
Nice.
Could be worth it, I suppose, right?
It was like 72 here today. We were talking about like it being like San Diego or something, which it isn't very often and hasn't been for a while. So, and debating whether fall is better or spring is better. I'm always a fan of fall, but I hadn't really thought of it that way. But, you know, fall means winter is on the way and spring at least means summer's coming. So maybe spring gets a little more credit for that, but I don't know, fall,
yeah,
I like fall.
But you have seasons, like you have actual seasons.
We do.
There are no seasons here. It's like there are still 90 degree days in the fall and even going into December. I'm not even kidding about that. So I think I like spring the best.
I mean, we have like two full seasons, like winter and summer are definitely full on full seasons. And spring and fall are kind of half seasons each, like I feel like in the winter, it's just super cold in New York, and then it's windy for a while, and then all of a sudden it's 90. So, like, spring is basically wind, with a few nice days sprinkled in.
It was really weird, because when I lived in Portland, there was an actual fall season where I saw leaves fall, and it was raining. I was like, wow! I never knew this existed outside, right? Because, again, in California, it's just 70 to even 100 degree days all year long. And
at the same
maybe
time, though, you probably got your fill of rain.
Yeah. And, yeah, maybe about 5 days of rain a year. I'm not even sure if that's right or not, but, you know, California. that's how it is, you
yeah,
know?
Portland, you get, like, 90 days of rain in a row.
Yeah. And funny enough, because I hated the rain before I went to Portland, and then once I got there, I ended up loving it for some reason. And now I miss the rain here, and I'm only going to get it 5 days a year here if I don't move out of California anytime soon. So,
I think, like, you know, it's funny, like, when you don't do something very often or don't experience something very often, like, when it does happen or when you do it, you're like, oh, this isn't bad. Like, I remember, like, even when I'd go to L.A. from New York, and it's like, I don't drive in the city at all, but you know, when I go out there and I'd be driving and I'd be stuck in traffic on like the 405 or the 110, I'm like, oh, I don't mind this. Like, this is cool. Partially because, like, the experience of driving is still, you know, not something I would do that often. And I guess also that, like, okay, this traffic, I'm not going to have to deal with it tomorrow or I'm not going to have to deal with it next week. Like, so a couple of days of it, you know, it's different. So it's fine. I'm sure if you stayed in Portland long enough, you get sick of rain.
Yeah, a couple of days of traffic is fine. Everyday traffic is not.
Which I experience
every single day. It's not cool.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Oregon, it's like, oh my God, there are hardly any cars here.
I can get where I need to go.
Yeah, exactly. 20 minutes is actually 20 minutes, according to Google Maps, right? But over here, they say 30 minutes, but it's actually 2 hours.
Yeah,
because
nah.
Traffic. Yeah. So, yeah. Enough talk about seasons and traffic.
The important stuff.
The important stuff, right? But, you know, Team USA, that's what just won the gold. And Jerry Colangelo just mentioned that the world needs to step it up when, come on. Team USA just had, like, three close games during the Olympics, and they say the rest of the world needs to step it up. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
And not only that, like, you know, it's like, Jerry, it's not like we're sending Maryland to play Serbia. I'm not saying Maryland would necessarily lose. I don't know what state would do, well, Ohio, I guess, if you included LeBron and Steph and then just filled in the gaps. But,
right.
You know, it's like, okay, these countries have much smaller populations and a lot of them don't consider basketball really the number one sport. I mean, yeah, it's probably number two most places, but if your best athletes are going off to play soccer or, you know, whatever else, yeah, I mean, they're not quite going to give us a tough time. And like you said, I mean, they did give us a tough time. I mean, France and Serbia and Australia were not the outs in the first round. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like with Jerry, it's like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, Team USA didn't send guys like LeBron and, you know, Stephen Curry and all the other those guys. But the thing is, it's like, what do the NBA players hold more in regard? The NBA championship or the gold medal? Because gold medals obviously come every 4 years, and it's the prestige of representing your country. But it's a harder schedule for NBA players to go after an NBA championship. So what is really worth more?
What?
The time of the Air Force?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like 2004 obviously made it a little different, seeing that those guys didn't win. But, you know, that was kind of a weird year anyway, because, you know, you didn't have Kobe because of the trial in Colorado. You know, you didn't have Shaq at that point. You had LeBron and Carmelo and Dwayne, but they were all young. And then you send them to get coached by Larry Brown, who, you know, doesn't really like young players very much. It was kind of a recipe for disaster. I mean, it's still, I think, was sort of surprising that we lost, only because the thought was like, well, we're Team USA. Of course we're going to win. But, I mean, looking back at it, it's like, well, it's kind of understandable. You know, you play Allen Iverson with a broken hand basically all tournament and start him every game. Like, you're eventually going to lose. You know, so I feel like now we've reached the point where, like, we kind of overreacted to that, where it's like, oh, my God, bring in Krzyzewski, bring in Colangelo, like, make this USA basketball program an actual program, which I kind of feel like it still isn't. I mean, yeah, sure, right? You'll have guys like Jimmy Butler who, like, when they get invited, of course they're going to come, of course they're going to play more. But, you know, LeBron obviously can turn down whatever games he wants to, and when the Olympics come around, if he says, hey, I want to play, they're not going to be like, well, you know, you didn't play in the Tournament of the Americas, and you chose to take that summer off, so, we don't really want you at the Olympics. Like, that's not going to happen.
So, what are they going to do now? Like, because, like, again, you know, the NBA season's going on, and, you know, obviously there's that, you know, you want to represent your country and everything. Like, how can they fix this program at all?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think basically just have to hope the best guys agree to play. I mean, the NBA season's super long, and if you're someone like LeBron, who's played in six finals in a row, you know, and you've played 100 games a year, you know, you're kind of, that's approaching, you know, professional soccer player time, basically, where it's like, you've played so many games. And, you know, obviously, like, you know, not only did you have guys playing super long seasons and everything else, but, you know, you have Rio, which obviously is deepest enough, I mean, and whatever. I mean, obviously, judging from the news, you could have gone to Miami on vacation and gotten it, so... you know, like, I don't think it was like a just Brazil thing, but, you know, obviously there was concerns about it. You know, I think a lot of that stuff will go away in 2020. You know, and you don't have that much to worry about in 2020. You have Tokyo, you know, you allegedly have Pop going to be coaching. I think it's awesome, and I think he should have coached an Olympic team by now. I mean, it's ridiculous that he hasn't. You know, he's going to be 71 when those Olympics roll around, and I guess he's still going to do it. You know, that's what's kind of weird to me, where it's like, okay, Krzyzewski is turning it over to Pop, and it's like, yeah, but Pop's going to be older in 2020 than Krzyzewski is now. But, you know, it's Pop, so I think he'll do it. And if LeBron is serious in the fact that he would like to do it one more time and play for Popovich or whatever, like, you're probably good in 2020. So then you're looking at 2024, and who knows? You know, who knows who's even going to be, who's going to be the top guy in 2024? I mean,
that's way too far. I don't even know what I'm going to have for dinner, and you're talking about 2024.
Yeah, exactly. And Kevin Durant will be like 35 and retired, and
yeah,
you know, all these guys will be gone, and then Karl Anthony Towns will be leading the, who's he playing for? Dominican Republic? Like, you know,
yeah,
maybe
the Golden State Warriors actually too.
And the Golden State Warriors by then, yes, with Anthony Davis in the yeah. and Boogie in like the most ridiculous front line ever, with Kevin Durant playing the two, and Klay Thompson will be in his eighth year in Philadelphia.
Right. Adam Jacoby is joining us now. What's up, Adam?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Oh my God, what's up, Adam?
Hi.
Yeah, he came in right in the middle of your talking, so.
And, well, I think the big question for 2024 is, who is our Lord and Master Joel Embiid going to be playing for?
Ooh. Well,
that's the question.
Will the gold medal game be Joel Embiid's Cameroon playing against Karl Anthony Towns' Dominican Republic?
I'm going to leave it up to you to tell either of those guys no, that's not going to happen.
What if they decide to both play for America? I mean, Olajuwon did, right?
Playing for America and the 75-year-old Greg Popovich defending his gold medal and still not talking to sideline reporters?
I'm with you. I'm a little dubious that Popovich, not even as a matter of age, but that's going to be 4 years removed from coaching Tim Duncan for him. And I get
yeah.
that there's 12
yeah.
other guys on a team, but the stuff that Popovich seems to enjoy is going to be pretty long gone for him at that point. Or at least my understanding of him.
Yeah, and if obviously it'll be 3 years probably, because you figure Manu probably has one more year left, and I don't know. I saw Tony Parker the other day said he wants to play like 5 more years, which seems completely insane unless he plans on playing at least 3 of those in France, because
maybe that's what he meant.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he wants it in the NBA for that long.
Yeah.
You know, Kawhi obviously is great, and I'm sure, like, you know, Pop will get along with him too, but yeah, I mean, it's tough. I don't know. I think it's hard. It's hard for a 25-year-old player to say they're going to be in the Olympics in 4 years, let alone a 67-year-old coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and right. LeBron will be 36 by 2020, right? 35, 36. So
yeah. I mean, I'd almost be surprised if he's still in the NBA at that point, although, you know, maybe he will be. I mean, he seems indestructible, so, you know, go on, LeBron, break all the records, but...
I'm here yeah. for that.
And he can't mess around with that either, because remember when he said, like, I'm going to be in the dunk contest in 2010, he's going to do it. So.
I mean, the thing is LeBron really going to want to play in the Olympics after he's played in his, what, that would be his 10th straight finals by then? Like, you know, he's going to be pretty tired.
Yeah.
Poor LeBron.
10th straight finals, what is it? This would be like his, that'll be 17 seasons in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah
I think he's going to be bumping up against the career minutes record at that point. With playoff minutes included, at some point we just have to let the good man rest.
I agree. Take a break, LeBron. Relax. You did it. I just wonder if Mel. You know, I know Melo was very emotional when it ended, and you know, unfortunately, so emotional that he said something about making America great, which I kind of wish he hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me is like, you know what, Melo, like, come back one more time. Play at 37. Win a fourth gold. You know, I know, like, a couple of women's players have done it. I think a few win their fourth this year? I think, like, Diana Taurasi and maybe Tamika Catchings. Maybe it was their third. Maybe it was only their third gold.
I don't know.
The women's team have won gold forever, but...
Yeah, like, last 6 times, right, I believe.
Yeah. I think, like, going back to 92. But, no, I kind of like the idea of having a couple of the really older guys. I mean, that was the tough part about this year's team that people talked about. Is like, you had Melo, who's played like, you know, four, and you had Durant, who was playing in his second, and everyone else was in their first Olympics. So it'll be nice in 2020 to at least have some continuation. And, you know, you think that at least some of these guys will be back. Boogie didn't kill anyone, thank God. So he'll get a chance to play again.
Boogie made friends.
I don't know about DeAndre. You know, I feel like four more years, his springs might start to go. And at that point, you know, I don't know if you qualify anymore. Kyrie certainly looks like he can play in a couple.
But didn't he say that he wanted to play for Australia or something like that?
I don't think, but you can't do that, right? Like, once you play, I think once you play for the men's, for like the senior team, or maybe even once you play for the junior team, I think you're locked in. I think that becomes your nationality forever. I'm still trying to figure out how Niko Mirotić is Spanish, but
well, Becky Hammon's Russian, apparently, right?
Right, she plays for Russia, right. So. And Serge Ibaka is Spanish too.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Andre Bosch is Filipino. Like, I just can't figure it out anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just you just work your way in. Andre Bosch, man. I hope the Philippines makes it next year. Though, actually, given what I understand about Andre Bosch, and given what's happening in the Philippines right now, I hope he doesn't go there.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't want to go home anymore.
Dude, I don't know what's up with that, but I don't know, you know, they talk about, I mean, this is totally off topic of basketball, but, you know, wonder whether the death penalty is a deterrent, and, like, you know, I would say it's working, because I have given up my dream of being a drug dealer in the Philippines. I'm not going to do that anymore. For a while, that was my retirement plan, and you know what? Duterte, you got me, man. Not doing it. I'll figure out something else. Yeah.
So you've even erased future Filipino drug dealer from your Twitter bio? Like,
dude,
that's a bummer, man.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
You can't even write that anymore, because they're going to go after you. We can't even write that. It's crazy. Like, jeez. Well, I haven't been back in the Philippines in, like, nearly 30 years, really.
Damn.
But,
wow.
Yeah. And I don't have a desire to go back anymore after seeing all of that.
Yeah, I would definitely wait a while and see if this guy lasts. Although, if, you know, obviously, it seems like Manny wants to kind of follow that. And if he decides he wants to be president, he'll probably win, too. But.
Oh, yeah. Because that's, like, the career for a politician in the Philippines is like you go from athlete to actor to politician. That's how it goes.
It works.
Because a couple of former presidents in the Philippines were actually actors back in the day. Which
interesting.
Is interesting. Yeah. Like, it might as well be like Arnold, well, he became governor here. might as well be like The Rock becoming the president here, I guess. But
I'm for that.
Anything can happen. I would definitely vote for The Rock over Trump. But I mean, I guess that's not really saying much.
I'd vote for Russ Bankston for president. I'm not insulting or anything, but I'm
sure. Together.
or Adam Jacoby for president, right? I'll go for that too.
I need to follow the Trump plan of like fundraising and not buying ads. Nice. I'm frightened to say I've been legal for a while, so.
I actually wonder what would happen if Trump sees me, because what would he think of me? Because I'm a minority, and, you know, that could be something.
He's going to have to check with his buddies in the KKK on that one. I don't know how they react to it.
Yeah.
Buckley, we're not much sure what they're.
Yeah, see, I'm just dead meat in either country, whether it's here or the Philippines. So, I don't know. I might not survive for very long. Not that I'm a drug dealer or anything, but...
Yeah,
you know,
don't even say those words if you're in the Philippines, I think. Like, it's kind of like saying bomb in the airport. Like,
yeah, the president of the Philippines might hear this podcast. Oh, drug dealer!
It's too bad. We counted on his ears for so long.
Yeah, we're losing the very important listener. Very influential, I believe.
This is David Menneman from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Yeah,
everyone. I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome. He's awesome. The NBA is awesome. And you are awesome. Have a great day.
So the competitive balance of the NBA, which has been talked about for the last 30 years, really, because the Eastern Conference being all weakened compared to the West. But the thing is like, as J.J. Redick put it, there have been 5 different champions in the last 6 years. So, it's like, are we just, like, overreacting over, like, say, Kevin Durant signing with the Warriors and stuff like that?
I mean, yeah, I think so to a degree. I mean, it's weird, and, like, maybe I didn't pay attention to it because I was a Bulls fan, but, like, you know, I don't remember a lot of people when the Bulls won 72 games, like, complaining over competitive balance. You know, I feel like there's always been great teams. There's always been supremely awful teams. And that's fine. I mean, honestly, to me, like, you know where I want competitive balance? I want competitive balance in the finals. I want a fun finals with, like, you know, obviously, and if there's been 5 champions out of 6 years, I mean, whatever, 2 of them had LeBron on them. You know, give me LeBron versus the Warriors or LeBron versus Durant. Or, you know, last year I couldn't kind of decide, like, do I want to see, like, you know, the Cavaliers play the Warriors? Do I want to see the Cavaliers play the Thunder? You know, this year, if things work out, we get to see both. We get to see the Cavaliers play the Thunder and the Warriors. Apologies to Russell Westbrook, who, you know, won't be invited, and my best friend Dion Waiters. but, you know, I think, like, you know, people like Charles Barkley, and I can't believe I'm quoting Charles Barkley because I think he's bad for lots of things. But, you know, talking about the regular season essentially doesn't matter. And it's kind of true. Like, I'm cool in the regular season, like, watching the Warriors light somebody up or watching the Cavs light somebody up. You know, I think we root for competitive imbalance in games. Sometimes blowouts can be very enjoyable. you know, maybe not in an all-star game. Those can get a little tedious. But, you know, sometimes it's fun to watch a great team connect on all cylinders and just destroy somebody. And I think as long as there's a couple of good teams, you know, having just one good team would be awful. But as long as there's a few, I think it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever complains about that historic run that Miami had where they won, like, what, 20 games in a row.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't hear a whole lot of complaints that existed. and I don't – that iconic fast break that LeBron and Wade had where they're you know, Wade is pointing to the camera while LeBron's about to finish. you know that one. Like,
Yeah.
Nobody's ever like, that was the dark ages. or oh my God, they won that game by 30 points. Trash. No. So I think you're right. I think that people enjoy watching a great team, especially if it's the regular season, and it's like, okay, so they're up by 35 at halftime. I can turn this off. Okay. And I would argue that that if it were the reverse, and, you know, even if it was like a 30-point game going into the fourth quarter, anything can happen. You know, the rock and jock hoops come down.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't be fun. Like, it's... maybe you do it during the All-Star game, but in terms of, like, determining who the really great teams are, that would kind of suck that so much of the game would be effectively useless. And that's a complaint that I hear more from people these days. Like, even the complaints are getting a little bit more woke now. Because it used to be nobody plays defense. Where's the effort, blah, 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 which is just utter crap.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
But now some of the complaints are, well, you don't even have to start watching until the fourth quarter. and even the Warriors would let teams back in over the last couple seasons. And we might even see that again. I hope not. And I think I doubt it now that Durant's going to be in the mix and KD is not nice. He's not nice. But, you know, if there's any gripe that actually makes sense about the NBA, it's that, you know, some games are more competitive than they have any right to be. I think that's less the case in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when everybody's turning, you know, really turning it up for 48 minutes all the time. But, you know, yeah, go ahead.
No. I thought you were done. Go ahead. You carry on.
No, I was done. I was talking anyway.
No, okay. So all I was going to say, and I don't know, you know, I feel like competitive balance becomes less important. Like, I feel like that's a knee-jerk thing to bring up, like, when you don't have anything else to complain about. Not saying this is you, Ray. I'm saying this is other people. You know, but it's like, you look at the Warriors and you look at their record and it's like, oh my God, like, they killed everyone. Like, no one can compete. This is ridiculous. And Kevin Durant joining them. Oh my God, the sky's falling. Let's all kill ourselves. But, you know, A, I think if you're a basketball fan, like, this is going to be amazing. Like, you imagine, like, what would the ultimate situation be for Kevin Durant or for a player like Kevin Durant? And it's a system like the Warriors. And it's like, oh my God, he actually went there. Like, I kind of felt the same way when he did that I did when LeBron went back to Cleveland. It was one of those things where you're like, this is such a cool thing to have happen, but it can't happen, right? Like, of course he's just going to re-sign. Like, right. He's going to flirt with it, and then he's going to stay. And then you find out he did it, and it's like, wait a minute. He actually did that? You know, and it's just like, you know, everyone said, oh, it's going to be so boring. And it's like, can we just let it happen first? Can we actually watch it? Because I think it's actually going to be fun. So let's not complain about it until it's actually going on. But the bigger point I thought was, like, when we talked about competitive balance, it's like, I was thinking of, you know, you think of, like, eras and how they're generally defined by, you know, a matchup or a duel where it's like, if you think of the late 70s into the early 80s, like, oh, Magic versus Bird, Lakers and Celtics. And, like, that's what we talk about. We're not talking about, like, man, remember how trash the Nuggets were in the late 70s? Remember how bad the Bucks were? Like, you just forget about the terrible teams. And if you want to, you know, and if you think about in the most recent era, like, okay, where was there the most parity? And you figure, okay, maybe in, like, the mid-90s when Jordan retired. Jordan retired, like, it let all these other teams kind of get their chance. You know, the Rockets came from wherever they were. I don't think they were even a number one seed to make the finals. So you have the Knicks-Rockets finals, which is like, hey, these teams are like sort of evenly matched. You know what? That was probably the worst finals in the past 30 years. I mean, it was horrible.
It sucked.
No one wants to watch like 85, 82 games where everyone beats each other up and, you know, someone.
I don't know, man. I love John Starks like missing like 35 free throws in the game.
Poor Rolando Blackman, man. He must wake up like screaming about that game like a night a week still.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I feel like parody is one of those things that people want until they get it, and then it's like, oh, this is what parody is. On second thought, I don't want this. Like, I feel like we need great teams. Do we need historically great teams every year? Probably not, because eventually it's going to get too good, or you know, you can only get so good. But you know, someone like the Warriors last year, and I understand now they're going to be a meme and a joke forever. And like I gladly contribute to it. I apologize to Julie Fair and whoever else from the Warriors who I like. But you know, it's like the whole hey, you know, did you hear about the Warriors losing the finals after being up 3-1? Like, that's going to last for a while, and whatever. You know, I don't know if I buy into the all of a sudden, like, they're trash because they did that, but, yeah, I don't know. The NBA is going to be ruined forever. It's like, well, maybe that was just an amazing season.
Yeah, and, well, I think that joke is going to persist about as long as it takes for Golden State to win another title. When the Mavs beat LeBron in the Heat, and all of a sudden people were thinking that might define LeBron's career? When was the last time we talked about that finals?
You know what the thing is, though? We would have talked about it probably had they lost the finals this year.
Maybe. Yeah.
LeBron is definitely a weird, like, guy where it's like every failure or even, like, potential of failure somehow negates all of his previous successes and everything goes back to previous failures. It's very weird. I don't know.
Yeah, he's sort of the referendum.
Well,
which is totally unfair.
I follow a bunch of Laker fans, so they're always going to remind me of Laker failures. I mean, of LeBron failures, because they're always protecting Kobe Bryant.
I follow a lot of Bulls fans, and I'm telling you, it is a pathology with them. Because they feel the need to protect, you know, their bald, tongue-out, swaggering.
The Bulls thing has been very interesting, and, like, I find, you know, with a lot of players and a lot of teams, like, I'll kind of respect them more as time goes on. And, I mean, obviously Jordan's accomplishments and the Bulls' accomplishments will, you know, always be incredible, but it's hard for me, like, to say that, okay, Jordan did that, he made it to six finals and won all six, so obviously if you don't do that, you're not the best ever. Like, I have trouble deciding, like, okay, you know, as big a Jordan fan as I am, I don't know if maybe that's why I'm able to say, like, hey, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but, you know, I don't know. I think trying to pick one best ever is tough, and I think for anyone who was really a Bulls fan during that era and did not, you know, pick up Jordan later or become a retroactive Jordan fan, whatever you want to call it, the great humbling that followed in the next, like, 5 years or so between, or 10 years even, between Jordan and Derrick Rose coming in, like, I don't know. I feel like that was a good lesson that a lot of people missed. It's like, you can be really good and all of a sudden be really bad.
Tim Floyd. We miss you.
Oh, God. and the great Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry experiment. Hey, Elton Brand's really good, but you know what? There's this high schooler. Like, you stop there. Stop there.
The baby Bulls, the Bill Carras coach.
And the great summer of 2001 when we were going to get Tracy McGrady and Tim Duncan and we got Eddie Robinson. Love you, Jerry Krause.
Oh, man.
And Ron Mercer.
They couldn't even get Eddie Jones, I think, right? I think Eddie Jones was a rumor.
They pretty much missed everyone. Which part of me wonders is, like, and I understand it's not Jerry Krause anymore, but, you know, there's still some lingering stuff. So where it's like, when Dwayne Wade was suddenly available this summer, it's like, oh my God, we can finally get a marquee free agent, even though he's got, like, you know, I don't know. I like Dwayne Wade. I want to like it, but I feel like it's almost like buying, like, a V12 Mercedes that has, like, 180,000 miles on it, where you're just like, no, it's a really cool car, and it's like, yeah, but it's going to fall apart. Like, it'll be fun sometime, sure, but it's going to spend a lot of time in the shop. I don't know. We'll see. I want to like it. Yeah. I won't talk about Rajon Rondo, though.
No, I actually forgot about that one, too. Yeah, Rondo. Yeah. Well, speaking of humbling, like, look at the Lakers right now. It's like, after winning titles in 2009, 2010, look where they are right now. It's like 17 wins last year.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're in an interesting spot. I feel like D'Angelo Russell, like, you know, now that Kobe's gone and, you know, maybe he'll feel a little more safe. And Julius Randle and, you know, what's his name? Ingram. Yeah, I think they have a decent core. And Ejion Leon. I mean, come on. Championship.
Yeah. No Byron Scott too.
No Byron Scott. Yeah. I mean, as long as they can resist the temptation to kind of do what the Bulls did and be like, oh, we can be back in, you know, we can be back competing right away. It's like, no, just take your time. It's okay. Like, yeah, everything's not going anywhere. Like, look at the Warriors and try not to be the Warriors, but try and build like they did.
Yeah.
You know, figure stuff out. Don't just try and, like, get back all of a sudden, because usually that doesn't work.
Yeah, because they built through with Curry, Thompson, Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Who's, by the way, I'm not gonna make fun of Harrison Barnes here, because, like, dude, he got a max contract and an NBA championship and a gold medal.
It's not, like, bad.
Not bad at all, man. Yeah,
I wish.
Get it however you can.
Yeah.
Get your riches however you can, man.
Yeah, now he gets to be on Dallas with the, you know, the owner who with, like, the most largesse in the league. It's like, you know, you might not be Warriors anymore, you're sure going to have like a PlayStation or whatever the most recent setup is, like in your locker with a flat screen. So, you know, do you, Harrison? Yeah.
So, whee! Yeah.
And he can be the number one guy now, right? I think.
God, I hope not.
Who else you got there?
Wes Matthews.
Well, that's true. Wes Matthews is still. Yeah, I never saw him as the number one guy, though.
No. Dirk will be one something.
1B or whatever he's going to be. Yeah, but anyway, when it comes to parity and, you know, dominant teams, I don't know. I always feel like people are going to find something to complain about. It's like, oh, we have dominant teams. I want more parity. Oh, there's parity now. Look at the West have, like, 8 teams with 50 or more wins.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the people who get upset about that are the ones whose favorite team happens to not be the dominant team. Like, I don't think you had Laker fans complaining about, you know, competitive imbalance in the early 2000s. You know, oh, fine, we'll give up either Shaq or Kobe. Like, nah, we'll stay winning championships. That's fine. You know, I don't think Spurs fans over the past 10 years have been too upset about competitive balance, or 20 years, or 50 years, or however long it's been.
Yeah, I know.
No, only when LeBron and Bosh and Wade all went to Miami. They had a few complaints at that point. You know,
That's true.
Not trade it, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, built not bought.
Yeah,
I think.
That's
something like that. And then they got LaMarcus Aldridge like 2 years later.
and they beat him in the finals while they were at it. So I mean, you know,
that's true. Yeah, that was a fun thing. Like I said, don't always have something to complain about. Last thing before I let Russ go. Olympics, man. we kind of. Yeah, so it's over, and it was fun, I guess. So,
Fundamental. Power ranking.
Kind of. Can you give me your favorite moments in the Olympics?
Yeah, I don't know if I can actually. I was thinking of trying to do some kind of order, but I think that's impossible. I watched bits and pieces. Like, I don't have a TV at home, and like, we were at my girlfriend's relatives, and so we watched a bunch there, and I watched some at my parents' house, and like we had a TV on at Complex for a while during the day.
It's not like I expect you to watch like equestrian or water polo or rowing or wrestling or
dude, I even missed the weightlifting. Like the thing I missed that I would have really liked to see would have been the table tennis.
I saw a couple of that, yeah.
And I guess that's another thing, like, you talk about nationalities with basketball. Apparently, I think, did I see something like 44 athletes who compete for different countries were all born in China? It was something ridiculous where it's like, most of the table tennis competitors, I feel like, were born in China. But, I mean, it's just amazing to watch a sport like that where it's like, oh yeah, I played that in my dorm, you know, and then like you watch the pros play it and it's like, oh, that's a little different. Like, you would actually die if you tried to stay in front of that. Or badminton, where they serve at like 200 miles an hour or something absurd. But that leads into, and like, I would, this probably at number five, like, and again, it's not going to be in complete order, but so one of the things we happened to watch was men's volleyball. And it was weird because I don't know if either of you guys saw like any of the U.S. men's volleyball, but first of all, okay, they're all white, so they're the volleyball team in the Olympics is actually less diverse than the volleyball team was in Top Gun, which is kind of embarrassing. Like, you know, you've had like 30 years to get to this point, like better, and they kind of look like a mix between like the 92 Duke team and like the 92 Kentucky team, like one of those Kentucky teams, like when they were still on probation, so they had to just get like local guys. Cause you had like dudes with the bad haircuts. And then like one dude who was definitely my favorite guy on the team with like a full on mustache. And it's just like, it just seems so weird. And to me, it's like, how do you not have like, you know, a few like black former basketball players or, you know, actual volleyball players on this team? Like, how do you not decide, like, we need to do a little bit better at this. It was super weird. It was super weird. It just felt very 50s. And they were good. I mean, they were fun mm-hmm. to watch. But, yeah, it was kind of surreal. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, how's nobody pulling the Wilt Chamberlain?
Right.
That's exactly yeah. what he did.
And not only that, yeah, it's like, if Olympics are so important, and that's the kind of thing that, like, whatever, DeAndre said, and Carmelo and any other basketball player who's never won a championship so wouldn't know, you know, talk about how important an Olympic medal is, like, well, then give volleyball a shot. I mean, the bad part is, like, the only guys I can remember who played volleyball who are in the NBA are also white guys. It's like Judd
Cherokee
Bushler
Parks.
And...
Judd Bushler, too, yeah.
And who's that dude, blonde hair, he was on the Rockets.
Oh, God.
Bob Sura?
No, he's the guy who plays now. He's either on the Rockets...
Chase Budinger.
Budinger, there you go.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't figure out why Tyson Chandler isn't on the front line right there.
My God, he would destroy people. I mean,
yeah,
other teams
would
just quit. Just, like, forget it. We don't want to do this anymore. Or, like... You know, aren't there people who could jump super high and, like, were in dunk contests?
Even JaVale McGee would be a great volleyball player.
Oh, JaVale McGee would be the perfect volleyball player.
Yes.
He'd be great.
Absolutely.
He'd be a volleyball superstar.
Can we get a petition for that? Have JaVale McGee be in the men's volleyball team for the Olympics in Tokyo?
He could block the entire net.
Yes. The days of France beating us in international volleyball... Would be completely over.
Oh, over.
This guy dunked three basketballs, man. Come on.
We definitely need to get JaVale McGee on the volleyball team. Or, you know, I was going to say I would take Kwame Brown because apparently he's back in shape and he's trying to do something. But,
I'm so happy.
I just fear it's not going to work. I'm sure Kwame can make money playing basketball somewhere. I don't think it's going to be the NBA.
Hey there, this is Serena Winters of LakersNation.com, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Hey guys, before we continue, just remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also find a podcast on Stitcher as well as RayRay.net. There's a hyphen between the Rays, and this is also being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. Follow me on Twitter at the Nullip Pass. And follow the podcast Twitter at Rary is Fun, because you can only fit 16 characters on Twitter handles, and Rary is Fundamental is too much. So yeah, that's all I got. Back to Russ Bankston and Adam Jacoby. Let's finish off this podcast.
What's up, y'all? This is Sharif, and you're listening to the Rary is Somewhat Fundamental podcast.
Russ, did you ever actually see me in a picture wearing a Kwame Brown jersey? Did you ever see that?
I don't think I did see that.
Okay, so what happened was that me and John Corrales from Red's Army, we had a bet during Summer League, and we played horse. The loser would wear a Kwame Brown jersey during Summer League.
Ooh.
So I lost that bet, and 2 years later I paid it, and I wore the Kwame Brown jersey.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, and I wore it. Yeah, I still have it. It's the Wizards jersey. And while I was wearing it in the media room, Mark Cuban saw me, and he was so incredulous. Like, why are you wearing this, basically, right? And I explained him the bet, and he just shook his head, and he just said, be nice to Kwame, man, and he just walks away.
Oh.
The only Kwame Brown stuff is, like, this might have been his rookie year, maybe it was his second year, I don't remember. I think it was in D.C., and I met up with the Adidas guys for breakfast or something ridiculous like that, and we were talking about, I don't remember what, in the team hotel, and Kwame Brown happened to walk by, and Kwame was an Adidas guy, and the Adidas guy notices he's wearing N1s.
Mm-hmm.
Which you're clearly not supposed to do when you're under contract and you're just starting out and you're not very good. And I guess it came out later that, like, he forgot his shoes and had to borrow stuff, and he was, like, a size 18 or something. So, like, that was all he could get. And it's just like, yeah, he was kind of destined for not good things, like, right from the start. That just, it just wasn't going to work.
He's my hero.
As he should be.
He got, like, a $60 million lifetime earnings in the NBA, right?
Something he did
like
okay.
That.
He did okay.
Yeah, so he gets the riches however you can.
He was tall at the right time. I think that, and I think had that reputation of, like, oh, well, he's can't do anything on offense, but he's a solid defensive player. And I guess that was enough.
I guess so. Okay.
Back
to the Olympics.
I'm trying to think. What else? I mean, Katie Ledecky destroying everybody was incredible.
Oh, my
like,
God.
That was very much fun to watch. And just seeing her, like, you know, 6 million lengths ahead of everyone, wondering where everybody else in the pool went. And, you know, I actually had this thought today or the other day. You know, I saw, like, she's not turning pro and she's going to, is she going to Stanford? Is that where she was going?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's, like, only 19.
Yeah. So she's going to Stanford to swim. And it's like, so she literally destroyed all the best swimmers in the world. I mean, completely
everybody
made them look terrible. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're just an average whatever swimmer swimming for some college team, and you're super excited to be in your first meet, and Katie Ledecky beats you by, like, 80 meters in a 100-meter race. Like, you know,
a lap and a
gonna,
half, yes.
People are just going to quit. Like, she's going to cause, like, literally half the swimmers in the U.S. to quit. I mean, do you have to go ruin college for everybody else? I understand college is fun, but, like, man, like, if I were going to be in college and swimming in the whatever she is, in the Pac-10, it's just like, no, I'm not swimming against Katie Ledecky. You go do it. I don't know. That just seems backwards to me. It's like, first you destroy literally everyone in the Olympics, and then you swim in college. But hey, you know, I don't want to knock anyone going to college. So, even though I don't think basketball players should have to. But
getting ahead of myself, but is Simone Biles like going to do college gymnastics? Because she does for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of the weirdness of the Olympics, I guess, is like that you can do it in that sort of reverse order. It would be like if LeBron played in the Olympics in 2000 and then came 3 years later and went to college, you know.
Yeah, like if you're
it's very odd. Yeah. I'm not suggesting we send high schoolers to the Olympics. That might be a bad idea.
No. But I think the lesson is, if you're some hotshot swimmer from Oregon State and you're in lane two, you look over at lane four and it's Katie Ledecky.
Yeah.
I feel like you should be able to say,
take a crap.
I think you should just be able to say, I pass. I decline.
Can she walk?
We know where this is going.
She can do that Larry Bird in the 3-point shootout thing and just walk into every locker room and be like, okay, which one of you's getting second? Because, like, hey, clearly no one's beating her. And if anyone does beat her, that'll be, like, the biggest sports story of the year.
Well, yeah, that Katie Ledecky is throwing swimming meets.
Which one of you is basically 10 seconds behind me? No, 20.
Like, Katie Ledecky just used her legs and only won by, like, 3 lengths. Yeah, I don't know.
Katie Ledecky has amputated herself, and she decides she's going to swim with only one leg.
and I guess, yeah, other thing in the same vein, I mean, Usain Bolt is the most amazing runner I've probably ever seen. I mean, I just don't, I can't even comprehend it. Like, he doesn't really look like he's running that hard. And just the idea that, you know, especially in the 100 and watching the semifinal and in the final of that, where it's like, he's running for less than 10 seconds, but his races have, like, stages. Like,
yeah,
he can stumble out of the blocks or come out of the blocks slow, and he's so fast that he can do that in a 10-second race and still win. Like, that makes no sense. You shouldn't have time to slow down and sort of celebrate before a 10-second long race ends. Like, that's crazy. I don't know. I mean, as great as Michael Johnson was, it's just like, how do you win the 100 and 200 for 8 years straight, like, and more than that, I think, when you factor in, like, world championships and stuff, like,
yeah, by going only like 80% of your speed, really, because, like you said, like, he celebrates before he finishes the race. It's ridiculous.
And not only,
and
to
I
do
think
that,
like, because
not just to win, but to do it with panache, to do it with flair, and like, he's got a denouement to all of his races. You're not supposed to be able to do that in a 100-meter race. Like, to just slow down and start, like, 4 years ago, he was beating his chest while he was crossing the finish line. You're not supposed to be able to do that! Like, that's
right.
What happens when you finish in eighth.
And that's the crazy thing, too, is, like, you look at some of those races, and, like, he's crossing the line with this big smile on his face, and all these people, like, a few steps behind him are literally, like, they look like they're dying. Like, they're struggling.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, like, he just looks like he's coasting, like, literally coasting, and it's just, you know, whatever. 8 years ago, I think he set the world record when I forget whether it was in that race, but, you know, he runs like a 9.6 something, and he's running 9.8 now, and he's already 30. You know, it's like, how long is it going to be before he, like, has to run like a 10-second 100? Like, he'll be like, what, 50? You know, it's like, why couldn't he come back in 4 years? I just don't, when you're that fast, like, if you were just beating people, okay, fine, that's one thing, but I don't know. It's ridiculous. And I said something about, like, you know, it's just, running is the most basic thing there is. You know, it's like almost everybody can run. So, to be the fastest and stay the fastest for that long, like, it just seems impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a fast runner, you know, they're going to find you one way or the other. So you're literally faster than everyone in the world and have been for like a decade. It's just hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the track and field stuff is always great, though. I mean, watching Mo Farah, too, and some of those distance runs, and, you know, you run, like, 10K in however few minutes it was, 24 minutes or something. And, you know, same thing. People are dropping dead and on the sideline because they ran out, and here he is, like, jogging over to the sidelines to get the British flag, and it's just like, wait, you can still run?
Right.
Yeah.
You're not dying?
Was it? I think that was in the... And that when he got tripped up, like his foot collided with the knee of like a guy he trains with, I think, in Oregon, and like, you know, I'm sure that guy felt horrified. It's like, how do you feel when you trip the guy you train with, who's the defending Olympic champion, like in the final? But he was able to recover and win the race. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's the cool thing about the Olympics is you definitely see people do things that you're like, I have no idea how they did that, but
yeah. It's incredible. Yeah.
And I guess, like, you know, if I had to pick a fifth thing, the fifth thing, obviously, is the decline and fall of Ryan Lochte, which was, you know, kind of a comedy of errors where it's like, how bad do you have to be and how dumb do you have to be that people believe the Brazilian police over you? Like, this was definitely one of those situations where no one wins. And it's like, I don't know, man, like you're 32, you're going out and partying hard with your younger teammates, and then you get in trouble for it because you told your mom that you guys got robbed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I feel like the truth probably was in the middle. I mean, obviously they did get a gun pulled on them. Obviously they didn't know what was going on. They probably didn't know whether that's a legit thing or wrong. You know, I refuse to believe that everyone else got down on the ground and Ryan Lochte said, whatever.
Yeah.
Pointed in his face. I think he might have exaggerated.
Might have.
But yeah, it's just super weird. And then all of his sponsors dumped him today. And it's like, well, I don't know. I thought that was kind of a cheap thing to do where it's like, well, guess what? You're a 32-year-old swimmer. You didn't win any individual medals. The Olympics are over. You know, we kind of don't need you regardless, but this is a very convenient reason to say we're dumping you.
Right. Well, now this crosses a line.
Yeah. Like, not like they didn't sign him knowing he was, like, party guy Ryan Lochte.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he have, like, a reality show, like, a few years ago or something?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like something Ryan Lochte would do.
and he can do it again or whatever because, hey, I was the guy that was, like, not robbed. But, you know, hey, I'm kind of popular or whatever. Famous.
Something happened. People know him. His Q rating is going to be up.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, whether you did anything infamous, you're going to get on TV regardless, right? Or get a deal or something like that, right?
Pretty much.
That's how it
happens. I think so.
So, like, I should just, like, claim to be a drug dealer in the Philippines and then...
Ooh.
And, And then just say that, oh, I might get killed.
Yes. Say that here. Don't say that there, because then, you know, we'll have to do some in memoriam stuff instead, and that's not quite the same.
Adam, if you have this podcast tomorrow. I'm just kidding. So I think we're done, unless you have something, Adam, or what's up?
No, I'm not. Oh, you know what? I just said no, and what I meant was yes. So, at GoIowaAwesome.com, which for the last several years has been BlackHeartGoldPants.com, we just today announced that we are in our seventh year of partnership with Iowa Touchdowns for Kids. And what that is a fundraising program for the University of Iowa Children's Hospital. And it is the only nationally ranked children's hospital in the state of Iowa. And it's ranked in 8 of the 10 specialties that the U.S. News and World Report ranks children's hospitals for. So it is a big deal. And up until now, up until this year, it did not have its own dedicated wing for children and their families. Like, it was a children's hospital, but it was really a bunch of different pockets of a larger hospital, not all of them connected. And so that was not a family-forward experience. And when people are going through an illness or an injury or, birth problems, that's a really tough time. And the absolute last thing they need is to have it be logistically difficult for their children to get the care that they need. You know, it's hard enough to be a young parent when your kid is healthy. And so back in 2009 when we started, the idea of a dedicated wing of the UI Children's Hospital was just that. It was just an idea, just something that and through a lot of other donations, private and some bonds, slowly the plan came into place, and construction began in 2012, and by the end of this year, 2016, in a building that we can already see rising above Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, the University of Iowa Children's Hospital will begin housing patients. And it's an incredible place, a wonderful place, one that is going to be the most family-friendly hospital in the state of Iowa, one of the most family-friendly in the entire nation, and not only family, but nurse-friendly. And, you know, there's just small things like there are three times as many work areas for the nurses. There's access to natural light in every single room. There are libraries and reading areas and all of these different things that are designed to help make the experience, you know, as close to normal as it can be for these young families that have to be in there. And so the premise of it is that during the regular season of the Iowa football team, for every touchdown they score, you will have pledged some amount of money. We'll say $1, $2. And so for every touchdown they score, that all adds up, and then at the end of the season, you make your donation based off of that. And so they scored 54 touchdowns last year. Usually it's in the 40s or so. And
good job, Iowa.
Yeah, and so we are closing in on $500,000 raised. Mm-hmm. We're already over $400,000 for Iowa Touchdowns for Kids over the last 6 years. And so we're really hoping to have a strong year as we get ready for the hospital to open. And it's bittersweet, you know, because you don't want to celebrate having to have a children's hospital and having to have patients. It's not a celebratory experience for anybody that actually has to be there. But, you know, it's an opportunity to see a dream and a patient forward, family forward, you know, professional forward, this idea of, like, actually come into being and to make their experiences as decent as possible, I would say. So that was something that just went up today, and we encourage everybody to make their donations, and it's all through the Children's Miracle Network. It's we don't touch any of the money. If you came up to me on the street and handed me $5, I wouldn't be able to do anything for you. I mean, you can hand me $5.
Do that
bucks,
anyway.
But,
yeah, exactly.
But I can't just, like, hand it over to the charity. That's not the way it works. So it's done through the Children's Miracle Network. Every single dollar that they raise goes toward the Children's Hospital Fund. It doesn't go to paying, you know, some fundraiser's salary. It doesn't go to advertising. It doesn't go to me, for God's sakes. It all goes to the hospital. So, there's so many different, scandals these days, or controversies, or whatever you want to call it, whenever you find out that your favorite charity is, you know, spending 55 cents on the dollar of its donations to, like, stuff that isn't what they're supposed to be helping out. You know, oh, we bought t-shirts for ourselves. You know, there's nothing like that. Mm. So, we're extraordinarily happy to be involved. We're coming up on $100,000 just raised by our community, like, as a little subsect of Touchdowns for Kids, which is a larger, citywide, Iowa City-based sort of thing. So we're very excited. We hope that, people pledge, and or at the very least, you know, send it to somebody who feels like that. Somebody who has had to have somebody in Children's Hospital who's had a great experience and wants somebody else to be able to have that great experience too. So, that was today. And we are hoping for a ton of touchdowns and to make our readers pay dearly. And if you know anyone who would be interested in supporting a cause like that, by all means, let them know and send them to iowatouchdownsforkids.com.
Yeah, I'll also put the link on the entry on this podcast.
Thank you.
So, thanks, Adam. Russ, if you can go ahead and publicize your social media or whatever else you work on the internet, stuff like that.
Oh,
go ahead.
Well, you know, you can find me on Complex. I've got, like, a author page on there, which, you know, hopefully will pick up now a little bit. I've been a little slack since, free agency period ended.
well,
been really exciting. We've got 2 months to go.
At least spell your name right? Like Russ Bankston, not
yes,
Russ Bankston.
You can find me at Russ Bankston, no spaces, no anything, on Twitter and Instagram, and probably on Snapchat, although I've never used it. So feel free to yell at me to use Snapchat on Twitter, because I still haven't figured out what it's for or anything else. I did go through a period one weekend where I was like, oh my God, I should register my name on Snapchat and Periscope, and I don't even remember anything else. And it was like, all right, I'm signed up, and I don't know what to do now. So, basically just remember it's T before S. It ends in, my last name ends in Sun. So that part is fairly easy, maybe a little counterintuitive when you say it, but not so bad. You know, otherwise I'll see all you people on Twitter. And Adam, I actually sort of half expected a pun to come out of that story. I did not necessarily expect it to be entirely sincere. And kind of the longer it went on, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be so elaborate. And then at some point I realized, like, oh, no, it's fine.
He means it
normal. But I've got, like, an actual, you know, it comes up like a little phobia or something. Oh my God, this is going to be really awful.
But, oh no, you've been conditioned for it. That is totally.
I've been thoroughly conditioned.
We all have.
For it. Yes.
We all have. I asked him a story actually when he said yes, I do have something. Like, oh.
And you're like, oh. No.
But you are very good on Twitter.com. So
thank you.
You know.
Yeah.
Follow
so you can
all
also find.
Us.
Yeah, you can also find Russ Bankston on MySpace and Friendster as well, right?
I don't think I did ever delete my MySpace profile, so there probably is still one somewhere out there, but God forbid. I'm going to go look it up, like, right now and see if it comes up.
Adam, go ahead and publicize your stuff.
I'm as ever, on Twitter at adam_jacoby.com. No, not .com. .com at all? Wow. People know where to find me. What the hell?
adam_jacoby. There has to be an underscore, otherwise you'll find...
You'll find somebody who blocked me. Yes.
Yeah. Who can't get enough of your punch, by the way. Yeah, so... Yeah. Oh, and Adam, did you want to go ahead and send us off?
Oh, how could I forget? How could I forget the good news?
Yes.
The words of wisdom, the timeless mantra, that there's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging.
I hate this guy. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Take care, guys.
Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Oh, dude.